been a rough week. I still got this thing on me the 17th day. And tomorrow morning at 7:30, I'll see Dr. Thompson, and maybe he'll take it off. I'm tired of it. I'm tripped and falling. It's been sort of miserable. Today, we're going to pass out some cookies in a minute for Joy made, homemade.
Happy
birthday. My birthday is today. I'm 75. So. I don't feel a day over 80, so. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Before we start today, I was telling Roy when he came by, he starts next week for 2 weeks. And I said, I'm enjoying these next 2 weeks. And it's rough getting a lesson up. And all week I had been telling Joy, we have a great relationship, but I've really gotten closer to her because she had really helped out. And but did you ever feel lonely? Just back in the 60s, those Skeeter Davis came out with a song, "All Alone Am I, People All Around, But I Don't Hear a Sound." And sometimes you try to be living right, you pray, you study the Bible, and you just say, "God, I'm lonely. I'm just lonely." And Dr. Jeremiah this morning talked on that. He talked about how Paul was lonely. He named all the prophets that was lonely. And he himself was lonely. And you have been that way too, one time or another. Being lonely when you're a Christian is not a sin, but it's a choice. Sometimes you can deteriorate mentally, emotionally, if you let it go. And that's when you need to have good people around you. That's why it feels good to come to a place like this right here. They say that in church, one of the preachers we're preaching this morning, one of the pastors, and he said that the northeast of our United States, that only 4% of the population will go to church. And then this was a Huntsville preacher, and he said in Huntsville, it's supposed to be the Bible Belt, there's only 35 to 37% population that goes to church. So you are a great minority. A big minority. And my job is, and sometimes I need it myself, is being an encourager or a motivator. And I try to do the best I can with what I have, where I'm at. And I think it's important that we talk about the things that have to be said. If you would, let's repeat to the Bible. Those of you that read the Bible, I'm talking, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. People, if you believe that, that's so very important. This is a tough world that we live in. You know it is. And we are a minority. We're almost a persecuted minority. People are going to come at us harder and harder. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for loving us and being with us. Thank you for this group of Christians, this congregation, that we can meet together unmolested by civil authority, that we have the freedom to worship. Thank you for giving us the opportunity for being here. In Jesus' holy name we pray and thank you. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 9, it simply says, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And that's so important. There was a statement from a book I was reading this week. There was one particular paragraph I wanted to read to you. And it says, and listen to it closely. There are two sides to your personality. The person you are and the person you would like to be. If these are in conflict with each other, you will experience bitter frustration and disappointment. There is no harm in dreaming about the heights that you can achieve, provided you take steps to make your dream a reality. You have potential for spiritual growth that is beyond your wildest imaginings. Spiritual greatness can be yours. If you live in harmony with God, your whole life should respond to his love with joy and gratitude, unquote. That's why we keep talking about reading your Bible and the Holy Spirit. Seek the Holy Spirit and pray to communicate with him. There's people in here that communicate with the Holy Spirit. And there's people in here that you may have been Christians for 30 or 40 years, and sometimes we still have trouble on that communication with the Holy Spirit. Talking to the Holy Spirit is a freedom. It's something that you've got to just relax and learn to do it. It's important that you understand that. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13, it says, heed the signals. There's something that chapter it just said, that honor God and obey his commands, because this is what his children must do. There's people here today that we all obey him. We make mistakes. We fall short. We have to admit that. And it's important for us to understand that. And I've been around for a long time, and I've made my share of mistakes. And so I was trying to gather this up today, for like 2 weeks ago. And I had come up with some God-given, time-tested truths that I thought may help you out. And most of you have gone through it, especially if you got white hair like me. A time-tested truth is the way we should navigate our lives. Observe them and you enjoy safe passage. Ignore them and we crash against the ragged rocks of reality. Now, these statements I'm going to make, some of you can understand it and some of you can't. But one way in living the Christian life, we as Christians, love God more than you fear hell. And one thing you want to remember, that God is not the accuser. Satan is. When we sin, and we all do it, when we make a mistake, and we want to repent for it, we want to change, and we try to come back, we have this feeling that God is sitting there with a pitchfork or something, and he's going to hit us with it, that you're held responsible for that. You are. But he's not the accuser. He doesn't accuse you. Here comes Adam. He did this or he did that. And he doesn't accuse you. The person that accuses you, his name is Satan. Satan accuses you. And look what you've done. You go to Fort Payne Family Worship Center and you did this? And you're going to come forward and you're going to tell them what you did? And he makes things look so bad for you. But God is always there to accept you if you learn to repent. The word repent means change 180 degrees. So Satan is the accuser. When I was in college, and I grew up in New Orleans from fourth grade on up, on the streets, I feared hell. Most of my friends, 90% of them was Catholic, and they talked about hell all the time, and I really thought Satan was vivid and alive, and he is. And there is a hell. But you got to get to a point in your emotional and spiritual believing that I fear God, but I love God more. Then I could reach out like the lady that had that blood poisoning. For all those years, she had problems, tormented. And then she was crawling on the ground when Jesus walked by and reached out there and touched the hem of his garment. And he said, "Who touched me?" And Peter said, "Everybody's touching you." He said, "No, somebody really touched me." And she came up, admitted it. The point is, you have to get to a point emotionally, spiritually, that you're going to be the one that reach out and touch that garment. And God forgives you. God, you're going to heaven. Everybody in this room should say, "I'm going to heaven." You're going to heaven. And what I try to do, is like I would in football or wrestling, is give you advice, give you emotions, give you hope that you're going to heaven, and act like it, talk like it. So the journey, what I call the trip, the ride, to the day we die, it's important that we do that. And here's something that very few of you may not understand. Make major decisions in a cemetery. And some of you may say, "Wow, no way." I go up there a lot. My daughter's there, 17-year-old died, killed in an accident. My mom and dad's there. And it's a place where Joy and I'll be one day. And sometimes it cost me a lot of money, but we bought a bench made out of marble so we could sit down and talk. And sometimes they're not there. They're gone. Their soul is in paradise. But the last person, the last place I saw her was here. They opened her casket, and I saw her one more time. So I go there, and it's comfort. And as I look at all the tombstones around me, and the decisions I'm about to make, if it was my son when he was in Alabama or when he was in the Army, "God, I need his help. I need your help. I got this choice. Help me to make the right choice." When you get to the point that you can pray with all your heart and soul and not be ashamed of it, not be ashamed of it. Because I've been on my knees in that graveyard, and I know some cars passed by, but I wasn't ashamed of it. And they say, "Poor old Coach Coburn, he don't realize they're all dead out there." I realize that. But also my freedom, I'm going to point to the everything that I'm all right. I make mistakes. I sin. I make mistakes. And I ask for forgiveness. So make major decisions in a cemetery. When no one is watching, live as if someone is. That's when the Holy Spirit and your guardian angel. I think about my guardian angel. The Bible says that it's more than one, plural, not just one. And sometimes I get embarrassed and I think about the things in my life that I have done and my guardian angel was there with me. During the act, whatever it was, it was there. Also the Holy Spirit. And if you're in communication with the Holy Spirit, isn't it embarrassing that the Holy Spirit sees us when we're in the act or doing something wrong? Sins of omission, sins of commission. Sins of omission, what you omit to do. You should do it, but you omit. And sins of commission, that you deliberately, there's not a person in this room that haven't deliberately said, "This is a sin and I'm going to commit it," and you do it. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? These are sins of commission. We know it's wrong. We know it's wrong. This guy may have cut me off in traffic, and he flipped me the bird. But I'm going to, when I get around him, I'm going to, "You're going to what? You're going to what?" Your back bumper says, "I love God. I go to church." And people are watching you all the time. So you need to think of it that way. That the Holy Spirit is with you. Treat it justly. And your guardian angels are there with you. "Yea, though I walk to the valley of death, I will fear no evil." You have to understand that. No one is watching. Act like it. Easy thing. I used to think, I've been all over Europe in the Army. And they could put you all someplace in Hong Kong or something like that. Nobody knows you. Nobody knows you. And you can do what you want. But the only person that's going to know about it is your angels and your Holy Spirit. Roman, my son, had bought some baseball tickets for the Braves. He's going to play Boston Red Sox. We flew up there. I was excited. He spent a lot of money on these tickets. And we came to this particular place. And he said, Dad, we're going to this lounge. And he said, I know you don't drink. And I'm not against booze or anything else. I'm just saying this for me. And he said, I know we can have, but we're going to be here. And so right off the bat, he saw an Alabama football player. And they knew each other. And he had two friends. They came over to our table. I was drinking iced tea, and they were all drinking beer, bottle after bottle. And I was sitting there. He said, Dad, come on. Come on. I said, I can't do it. I ain't condemning it. I'm not condemning it now. I'm not condemning it. But they all had those bottles. So Roman started pushing all those bottles at my place so that they had more room for their bottles. And he said, Dad, you made me so mad. He had his bottle in his hand. He said, you spoil everything. Nobody knows you. And he said, you're in Boston now, in Massachusetts. And he said, relax. And about that time, somebody said, Coach Colburn. He looked, he just slobbered all over his mouth. Some people from Etowah County knew me. And then I coached at Fort Payne. And Roman just said that with his mouth open. I'm saying this to say that people are watching us. Especially, we're from Fort Payne Family Worship Center. I've got to be best I can, not only for me, but for you too. I cannot bring discouragement to you. And you can't bring discouragement to us. It's important that we understand that. Another thing I found that was important. Succeed at home first. Take care of your spouse. I've been married to that woman 50 to 51 years. And I've had this stuff for 17 days. And we have to sleep with it. You can't take a shower without getting it's just been unbelievable. I've got closer to her than I've ever been. I mean, putting the bed and everything, it's unbelievable what I'm trying to say to you. It's important to succeed at home. And sometimes all of our kids are gone now, and JC passed on, and sometimes we'll just be talking on the porch or something, and I said, I'm just lonely. I feel lonely. I'm alone. And she said, well, we're both together. And I said, you're right. And Dr. Jeremiah this morning preached on that about being alone. He said it's prevalent. It's there for you. And it happens. Another thing that I learned, especially when I got out of college the second year, don't spend tomorrow's money today. Take that card and chump it. And we chunked those cards about 30-something years ago. I got a gas card. I got an extra card for things that but she sees something on sale. And so that's important. Plan your money. Have your financially ready. Know who you are. Know who you are. That's one thing we tell a wrestler when he comes out. Who are you? Know who you are. What you stand for. What are you doing? Can you give your very best to us? Because we're going to give our very best to you. Another thing I've learned. Pray. Twice as much as you fret or worry. I was sitting on a porch yesterday, and I have to tell you about personal experience, and I know I'm against time. The mail truck Joy runs out there and brings a check, an envelope. It's from an insurance company. I open it up, and it says, your wife, we're sorry to hear that your wife, Joyce, died. And I thought, wow. And then another letter came in the same day saying, did you request an insurance change or address? And I was shaking. I was so bad. But I thought somebody has breached us. And I won't find out until Monday morning, tomorrow morning. And so what I'm trying to say, I was so nervous. I was absolutely just shaking. I got up and I told Joy, I'm going inside. And I just asked God. I said, God, Father, I can't handle this. It's in your hand. It's in your hand. And I'm sure that I just had a calmness come all over me because it happens. I believe that prayer works. I believe when I get up in the morning and I read the Bible, I convict myself. The Bible convicts me. And when I write these things down, I'm talking to Billy Coburn. If it fits you, that's fine. But it is all important that you understand. And God has forgiven you. There's people in this room, maybe God has forgiven you. And you'd be wise to do the same. Forgive yourself. You can't, if you don't like yourself, how can other people like you? That's very important. You're going to have to be able to look in the mirror. Shut the bathroom door. Lock it. Turn the light on. Look in the mirror and say, who are you? Look in there. I did that not too long ago, and I didn't realize my eyes were blue. And so what I'm trying to say, it's important sometimes to really observe yourself and ask yourself, what's what? What's going on? Another thing, good name. A good name, when a person has so lived to earn a good reputation and character, the day of their death, can be a time of honor. Now, you're gone already to paradise. The Bible says you're a peculiar group, you're a saved group, that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as your Redeemer, and you believe that He's the Son of the living God, you're going to heaven. Even with all our sin, the cross, every Sunday morning, Joy and I, it's just one thing we do, we take communion. And we think about the blood that was shed by Jesus. And we talk about drinking the fruit of the vine. We think about His body, how beaten up and broken for somebody like me and somebody like you. It's important that you understand that. More is learned from adversity than from pleasure. We play a game, and they beat us pretty bad on Friday night. We take the film, we grade Fort Payne, get them ready. Then the next thing is going to be devoted to Oxford or Albertville, whoever we play. And we pretend that we're Albertville, and we look at Fort Payne, and we see our mistakes. We may run to the left side only 23% of the time. Or when this formation, you expect us to pass. We figure out what they're thinking about us, too. And my point about that is we need to do it to ourselves. We need to look in the mirror sometimes and say, what are we doing wrong? It's important we understand that. That adversity, when you lose, you get beat, don't surrender. It's all right if you get knocked down. It's all right to cry. It's all right. But eventually you're going to have to get up. Brush your pants off and go for the next play. Same way in life. You're going to get beat. Somebody tells you they don't love you. You get fired. Your finances have been breached. Something could go wrong in death. You just don't surrender. You just don't lay down and die. You're somebody special. You're a peculiar group. You're royal blood. And we need to act like it, talk like it, and know that we're going to heaven, and let other people know that you're going to heaven too. True wisdom is developed during life's trials, or the loss of someone dear, or the suffering from the agony of defeat. And the thing that we used to say all the time, I got 3 minutes left, and it's never surrender. It's important. Live the Spirit of the Lord, happiness and salvation shall be yours. I want to say this. The lesson is complete. I appreciate so much. It's an honor to be with Roy and be a co-teacher with him. 8 years ago when he first got here, I was in his class, and I loved every minute of it. I appreciate you so much. And just an honor to be a co-teacher with you. And it's an honor to be with you. I love you. And remember, if you're at Walmart or wherever you're at, you're somebody special. God loves you. And act like it. Relax. Be free. That you're free. Whatever's pestering you, you're free. Just ask and repent and forgive me. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hope to see you next week.